Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and AJ, along with Lance, off today, lazy. He is actually in Los Angeles shooting his little NFL Network television national show or whatever. Yeah, whatevs. We got a big radio show here to do today, and AJ has joined us here. We're getting some of that blitz rub here, Del.
I'm trying to get some of that bench rub.
Right, we're just trying to get a little bit of that, and you know, here's the
2019 deal. Bench is 2018 blitz.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen the numbers, but
going pretty good. It's all because of the peeps, not so much because of the signal. Listen, if you were having an issue this morning, because I know I was,
you know that
in.
I don't have any fix in this.
No, I understand.
I feel like if it were Lance, you wouldn't be talking about this right now. Like
no, yes, I would. I'd be telling everybody to get on the app.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. To get on the app, okay? ESPN Houston, ESPN 975 Houston. Get on the app and you can hear the show, okay? Because I know that you're having issues and we're going to get all the tweets and the squirrel's not working and blah, 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 or whatever. Get on the app and you're going to be able to hear. And we will, when we give stuff away, because we give a lot of crap away here, we will wait and make sure that the people on the app can get it too, because you're about a minute behind or so, whatever it is. A lot of stuff to talk about this morning. And the biggest issue, I don't know. Now, we've talked so much about whether or not it'd be better to face Golden State in the second or the third round. There is a question whether or not Boogie Cousins is done.
He's done.
Well, the thought is he will be done.
Yeah.
And it's a season-ending quad injury after last night. Pat Beverly must have stuck him with the voodoo doll or something. That's a loss. You know, I was never, you know, when Boogie signed with Golden State, I was like, yeah, but I don't know that he fits so well, you know, because that's a team that runs up and down the floor and they'll shoot jack-up threes. I'd be just fine if they get it down to Boogie every time and the ball's out of Durant's hand, the ball's out of Steph's hands. That's fine by me.
Except he's just like them. He runs up and down and shoots threes.
Yeah, he does that, except I'd rather, if you're them, would you rather have Boogie doing it or Steph or Durant doing it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, he's another really good player that they had. Don't get me wrong. He adds to it. Right. But you know, what's Boogie? I mean, when he joined New Orleans, I mean, that didn't look, you know, that looked bad. It wasn't any good. Now, maybe he and Anthony Davis together, two bigs in today's NBA, just doesn't work out. I get that. But you know, I don't think that Boogie was a real cog in this deal. I mean, they've won without him.
They have, but at this point, he's better than Draymond Green. I mean, he's definitely a bigger part of their offense than Draymond Green is.
Well, if in fact he's taking Draymond shots away, then that's a good thing for him.
Right.
Right. Right. No, that is absolutely true. And minutes, and yeah, he's doing all of those things. It is a plus, and I don't mind other teams having injuries. Okay, I don't wish them on them, but if they have injuries, oh well, you know,
everybody has injuries. I mean, yeah. So I don't feel sorry. Like, if a team loses a guy, okay, other teams probably lost a guy at some point. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, that happens. Oh, when Andre Iguodala, well, if Andre Iguodala, oh, you know, you can. Chris Paul got hurt, but we didn't have Andre. So you know what? I'll trade you. You'll trade Iguodala for Chris Paul every day. Every day,
yeah.
If you know, if you're the Warriors, you wouldn't trade Paul. If you're the Rockets, oh well, you guys don't get Iguodala. Oh well, no, that's not a good trade for the Rockets.
I will say, in that series, the way Andre Iguodala was playing, when he went out, I don't think the Rockets ever see a game six or seven if Andre Iguodala was still playing, because the Rockets won a couple games by 1 or 2 points, you know, to get them to a game six and seven where they didn't have Chris Paul. That if Andre Iguodala was there, Rockets probably don't win those games.
Well, maybe, maybe not. We don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know. Because the Rockets have beat them this year without James Harden, and they had Andre Iguodala.
That's regular season basketball.
Yeah,
Rockets are really good at regular season basketball.
Yeah, no. And, you know, and the Warriors have had... We've talked about this before. I think they're very vulnerable. I think they're extremely vulnerable. I think we saw it last night. Up 31 with 7 minutes left in the third quarter, and they lose the game.
You want to know a secret?
Pat Beverly?
I went to sleep in the fourth quarter because I thought the game was over.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
I went to sleep, and I didn't even know the game was on. So,
well, I mean,
I didn't really care about
it. Dale, how much of it did you watch?
Did you watch that game?
The whole not the whole thing, because I watched as they built the 31 lead. By watch, I mean I kept track of it online, and then I was like, "Oh, this is within 10. Let me take a look and see what's going on."
All right, so you saw the end of it.
Okay. Yes, I saw the end.
So
the end was great.
Yeah, that's the part that I guess while I was watching them build up a 30-point lead, it wasn't that exciting of a game.
Now you know what we're gonna see a bunch of Steve Ballmer. GIFs or whatever they're called.
I like.
Well, anytime anything great happens, it's going to be Steve Ballmer. You will see it if you haven't seen it yet. He's in his seat after Shamet hits that shot, the three-pointer to put him up after they're down by 31 in the final seconds. He puts him up, and Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers, just goes nuts. I kind of like that guy. He seems to have his team.
I like
back.
Him better than the last super racist owner.
Yeah,
that guy, he wasn't that nice.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm kind of torn on the super racist owner's selection of women. I don't know. She seemed like, I don't know. Anyway, I don't know what Steve Ballmer does in his spare time. But
Dell, always a big Donald Sterling fan. Dell always says Donald Sterling got a bad rap.
Yeah, no. He's defended him throughout. Right here on ESPN 97.5. But they lose last night. The Clippers beat them. I don't know that it means anything, but it's just harder that they have to work.
Yeah.
You know, and they lose Draymond Green as well. That locker room was said to be as quiet as it's been all year. And that was a tough, tough... When you're up 31 and they just stop playing, Steve Kerr said they just stopped playing. We got a quote from Pat Beverly that is awesome, though. And I'm going to tell you, he has gotten, and you can say what you want, but he is definitely under Kevin Durant's skin.
Yeah, that's his job.
They both got thrown out in game one, and Durant was laughing, but because, you know, he's a little pest. Durant wasn't laughing last night. Durant picks up more fouls with Patrick Beverly, and that's a good thing. Steph Curry picked up his fourth foul and had to go to the bench, and he says it changed all the rotation, but... Pat Beverly is a thorn. He's a little pest.
Klay Thompson was in foul trouble too. Yeah. All of them were in foul trouble.
So
Iguodala was in foul trouble,
and you know, Durant got a couple of fouls. One with an elbow to Patrick Beverly there, and then one where he's just trying to get some position down on the low post, and he got or running by, and he got himself a foul for that, and which was a BS call. They're, you know, it's obvious it's the NBA. They're BS calls. So anyway, I mean, does it mean anything to you that the Clippers beat him?
No,
I just think it makes him work harder.
I mean, yeah, but do you not think the Jazz are going to win a game in their series?
Nope.
I think they'll win a game.
I don't.
I think the Warriors will win the rest of these. I think the Jazz will win a game. I think it'll all end up being evening out at the end. I mean, it's one game. I'm not thinking much of it. Yeah. And what I saw last night was, besides Curry, maybe the most efficient players that the Warriors had going were Looney and Bogut. So it made me think, well, maybe they don't even need Cousins. Maybe they're going to be fine without it. They'd look different.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just feel like that team, they've been there. They've been through the battles. I don't think they're going to panic over this. I do think that, Draymond is, he's almost more trouble than he's worth now, because he's no longer the best defensive player in the NBA. I mean, he's still a really good defensive player, He sucks on offense, and he's just a it seems like he's a drain on that locker room. He seems like he's the guy who the frustrations in that goal, like the way the locker room went from being like a fun, you know, happy go lucky.
Well, he's the one that was dropping the B on Durant, all that, you know, you're a B, you know what they think or what he thinks of him when you continue to say that.
Yeah.
That sticks with a locker room, and especially the way, you know, Steve Kerr, I'm tired of the way he's bleeping shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I think the lot, you know what, especially when you got, you play in the finals every year, how much you're together, how, you know, the person, it's all big personalities in there, and Draymond's a big personality, so you're going to wear on each other. This may be closing in on the end of this Warriors dynasty.
Well, it's definitely this iteration of the Warriors dynasty. I've always said, as long as Steph and Clay are playing together, whoever else is on that team, that's going to be a damn good team.
Yeah.
Because that's the two best shooters in the world.
Right.
And
like, you replace Horace Grant with Dennis Rodman.
Right. But right. So as you long replace, as those two guys are together, it's going to be a good team. But, I mean, Kevin Durant's one of the best players there is. It's going to be hard. Draymond's still one of the best defensive players there is. It's going to be hard to replace those guys. But this group of guys, this is their last run.
Well, and in your thought there that, you know, Draymond isn't the best defender on the planet. I know he's not, because I heard Patrick Beverley, and Patrick Beverley is the greatest defender on the bleeping planet.
I can't help people get irritated about it. It's not my fault. I go out there, I try to be the best defender on the planet.
What?
Consistently, in and out, in and out. I take my role, take my job very seriously.
In and out, in and out.
I do it for my teammates. You know, I understand my role, and I understand how to get stops, and, you know, KD's not easy cover, but it's fun out there for sure.
He's just having fun.
Look, Patrick Beverley's blah, blah, blah. Let's be clear here. If there's no Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley's the best defender on the planet down 0-2. Okay, that's right. Fine. That's fine. Great job, Pat, I guess. I don't even know. What did Kevin Durant do besides fouling out? But Lou Williams, that's the guy. Maybe the best sixth man on the planet is the reason the Clippers won. That guy, you talk about Draymond and his defense. Draymond didn't want nothing to do with Lou Williams. Williams abused anyone who they tried to cover him with in that game. Pick and rolls, ISO, Lou Williams, reason.
Why do the Rockets have to give the Clippers all their best players?
They wanted Chris Paul.
I tell you this, though.
You want to trade back?
Did you not like watching Pat Beverley, though?
I did. But Pat Beverley's always going to be that guy who, if he's on your team,
you like
it's
him.
It's nice to have him.
Yeah. Well, it's the same with Chris Paul, isn't it?
Yeah.
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 Because he'll do something.
But Chris Paul's just a better player.
He's a better player. There's no question about that.
But, yeah, Beverley's one of those best defensive on the bleeping planet. I don't know about that. Maybe on your team.
He's a rat.
Yeah.
He's a rat. I know that.
He's annoying.
Yeah.
Is he Paul George or, you know, Giannis or Gobert or Miles Turner? Good defensively? Probably not. Joel Embiid? No, not that good.
Well, no.
But he's pretty good.
He's no Rudy Gobert, but you know what? That's not what he does. He doesn't do Rudy Gobert stuff.
Best defender in the world basically just means I piss people off all day.
That's what I do.
Which I don't know if that's the best way to defend people, but in this case, it's working.
What was Jeff Van Gundy's girls' third grade team's name? The clawing, gnawing rats? He had his daughter's team. He coached his daughter's team, and he named them. And his wife wasn't all that thrilled about the name that he gave those little girls. And that's what Pat Beverley is.
What about the other best player the Rockets gave up?
Montrezl is
9 for 9, 25 and 10 off the bench.
I mean, look at that's Rockets West. Montrezl, Lou Williams, Pat Beverley. Are you freaking kidding me? And look at Rockets North. Kyle Lowry. He's not the king of the North. He's Reek.
Well, he did play without balls on
he
does,
what, doesn't
Saturday.
He play, doesn't he play in the playoffs without
particularly
balls?
Particularly game one of
playoff
series.
Doesn't he jump off the ship?
Particularly game one of playoff series. He's atrocious.
He jumps off the ship. He's got to come back and save Yara.
That is pretty wild that former Rockets combined for 71 points for the Clippers. Chris Paul didn't get 71 points in the... Maybe they should trade back.
You see?
Yeah, you're right. You're on to something.
Well, they didn't like, for whatever reason, Montrezl came in and got all of these points and rebounds, and they just didn't like him. I guess because he's undersized or whatever the reason is.
He didn't fit what they were doing. He doesn't. He's when they
well, put, what is
when
Daryl
Morey puts all the
it's
numbers.
It's the same as no. Kenneth Faried.
Yeah, you're right. He is. It is that, but. When they put all the numbers in the computer, the Daryl Morey computer, he says, this doesn't work for us.
Why?
That's the
what?
Computer.
A guy who freaking plays hard, grabs rebounds, putbacks, all this stuff.
That's the beauty of analytics. You don't have to explain why. You just say, look what the computer says.
I don't know.
Says.
I always loved when he went, and they just decided they just didn't like him.
Your eyes tell you one thing. The numbers say something else.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but
I thought the numbers don't lie.
Well, the numbers apparently don't, according to them.
When you say in Daryl Morey we trust, it's in his computer you trust.
Yeah.
So yeah.
If that computer had a virus, you'd probably trust him a little less. That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
The computer tells him what.
I think his computer was sick that day.
Skynet tells him what to do.
Okay, I'm pretty sure his computer was sick the day he said, you know what, we should trade Montrezl.
Excuse me, since they've traded Montrez, number one overall seed.
Okay.
And you believe they're going to take out the Warriors this year, so what are you talking about? So why don't you stop?
Well, if the Clippers don't take them out first.
Well, let's see. That seems,
stop
seems
if the,
unlikely.
If the Rockets West don't take them out first, let's go.
Seems unlikely.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Well, we'll see. You know what? I know somebody who's taken out vehicle after vehicle, and that's John Clay Wolf. Boy, he had a show the other day. He got admonished by the New York. He was talking about racist dogs on his show on Saturday, and apparently the New York program director called into the show on air and gave him the business. We got to get John Clay on sometime soon as a guest. Forget this commercial. Because he is something else, this dude. If you haven't listened to his show on Saturday, it's unbelievable. And here's the deal. He also buys cars. He will buy your car for more money. I hear him on the air. It's ridiculous. You know, he'll say, okay, you tell him what the make and model is and what kind of shape it's in. And he gives you a number. And he goes, you just beat Texas Direct and CarMax. Oh, well, of course I did, because that's what I do every single day. So if you're looking for that guy that's going to give you the most for your car, the place to go, guaranteed, because if he can't beat Texas Direct Auto or CarMax, he's going to give you $100. It's GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. I can't
escape this. Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, that's cool. People, I mean, it's freedom of speech, right? You know, you say whatever you want. End of the day, we were a 500 team last year, banged up and beat up. You know, so it's no surprises for us. You know, we knew we had talent, but we also understood that we needed everybody to show the potential that we had. And, you know, once we have everybody on the same page, everybody healthy, you know, the proof is in the pudding and it shows. So, you know, people are going to say whatever they want. You know, this is a world that we live in that everybody is, they talk based on reputation. You know what I'm saying? So we never really wrapped our heads around trying to prove somebody wrong. We've always just went out there and knew that we were a good basketball team.
That was Lou Williams, Rocket, right there, winning
he's
games.
He's not a Rocket anymore.
He was. You know what? He was drafted by the Rockets, wasn't he? Spent 17 years here?
No. Is that correct?
Well, I feel like he did. He was. I feel like when he goes into the Hall of Fame, he's going to be going in as a Rocket.
He is. I don't want to say he's unlikely to go into the Hall of Fame, but he's really unlikely to go into the
Hall
of Fame.
You just said you don't want to say that.
I didn't want to say it, but I felt like I needed to.
Do you guys kind of feel like...
You know, he spent more time with the Fort Worth Flyers than he did with the Houston Rockets.
How long was he with the Flyers?
A year.
Well, I'm just saying, I know he was only here for like a half a year, right?
Right.
But I'm just saying it feels like he's a Rocket for life. That's to me. To me.
Okay.
Okay, take a look at some lines tonight. San Antonio's +7 against Denver, a team that dominates Denver. It seems like it's not enough points. I mean, it's too many points, but okay. Orlando is catching 10 against Toronto. I think Toronto comes back and slaps ass.
They put it on them this time, I think. Yeah.
Oklahoma City.
You saw that with the Sixers last night. They were salty about that. Embarrassed, I think. Because basically, those were the two series that, you know, I mean, the Rockets, I think there were some people, oh, the Jazz are tough. The Warriors were probably the one in the West who everybody assumed would just roll through their series.
Mm-hmm.
But in the East, it was, I mean, besides the Celtics-Pacers series, the rest of those series were supposed to be wipeouts because the Pistons are horrible, especially without Blake Griffin, they're horrible. The Magic are bad. The Nets are bad. Those are bad teams that made the playoffs.
Not really, though. The Nets are interesting. The way that they play, I think they can beat anybody on any given night as long as they're knocking down their threes. They play Rocket style of basketball. They came in here and beat the Rockets. I mean, that style of play, if you're hot, which they were, you know, they're getting 3-for-ditch math. They're getting 3-for-2.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, if they're hot now, you know, obviously they're not as good a basketball team, but I thought that might be a decent series, and it's 1-1. We'll see what happens. Philadelphia probably rolls, but that was a wake-up call for Philadelphia. And one of the things that I was listening to Richard Jefferson kind of on the way in through the static, he was saying, you know, I think the Philly just said, you know, they're going to waltz into the playoffs as opposed to going in and attacking the playoffs. And I think that was a wake-up call for Philadelphia.
It took a game and a half. I mean, they were only up by one at the end of the second quarter.
Right.
It was the 51-point third quarter. So it took them a while to figure out that maybe the Nets might be a problem for us.
51-point third quarter was a good quarter.
Which may, if you're a Net fan or a Net team, go, that ain't going to happen again. We played them to a stand. We won the first game, played them to a standstill in the second. They're not putting up 51 on us again.
Well, I tell you, it ain't going to be easy in Brooklyn, that's for sure. Rockets, 6.5-point favorites tomorrow night.
That seems short, too.
It does. But I think that they think that all of these – now, I could see, you know, the favorite team losing, that they're going to bounce back and be really determined. Yeah. But when the underdog – loses, and now they've got another game. I don't know that the Rockets lose focus tomorrow night.
I don't think so. I think if the Rockets lose one, it'll be in Utah. I don't think that the Jazz are going to roll in here. The Jazz, it's a bad matchup for the Jazz.
Yeah.
You know, just from a just straight up player on player standpoint, it's not good for them.
Well, and for the way that they've decided to play James, if he's knocking down his runners, I mean, they win by 80.
Yeah.
How many of those floaters did he miss?
Well, I mean, I guess that's what they were counting on, but it didn't help.
No.
I get wanting to take away the three-point line, which is, it seems like that's what they were intent on doing. They didn't.
PJ's in the corner. Daniel House is in the corner. And James has hit them.
Well, if you remember in the other game we saw this happen with Milwaukee, James took, I think, 9, went 1-for-9. He was 4-for-10 against the Jazz, and PJ was like 1-for-9. He had the same shots he got against Utah. He just missed them. He went 3-for-7. Daniel House didn't shoot particularly well from 3. He was only 3-for-10. But
he missed his first 3 or 4.
Yeah. 3-for-10, 4-for-11 overall. Yeah. He didn't have a great night shooting the basketball. But the Bucks employed the same style. And the Rockets, they saw it, and maybe the Jazz aren't as good as the Bucks in terms of implementing it, seeing as how they copied it from the Bucks.
And maybe Rudy Gobert could protect the basket.
Yeah, but maybe the Rockets have figured out, okay, that happened once in one game. You're not going to beat us doing that. And they were certainly prepared for it against Utah, as opposed to when the Bucks sprung it on them in the middle of a regular season game.
Well, James made a lot of good decisions. There was a stretch in the second quarter that was just fantastic.
The reality is that House and Tucker are better three-point shooters than James.
Yeah.
And I get that the volume says, James is the best scorer. But if you're saying, I've got to pick one of these guys just to shoot threes, I'll take my chances, and maybe James has one of those nights where he's 2-for-15, which is absolutely he's capable of doing. House is never going to go 2-for-15 from three.
No. No, no, no. That's why I think this team is better. And, you know, last year, I don't know, I think from the corner, P.J. Tucker finished third in the NBA. In Trevor Ariza was second from corner threes.
When you say this team is better, you think this Rockets team is better than last year's?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think the bench is deeper. I think they're the same team, only with Gordon playing better and with Daniel House and Kenneth Faried. I think they're a much better team. Because this team, let's face it, this team didn't really look at their second half. I'm not looking at their first half. I'm looking at their second half. And this team is much like last year's team, only better shooting. They won't go 0 for 27. They will not go 0 for 27 because you got Daniel, like you said, Daniel House and P.J. Tucker in the corner.
Well, P.J. Tucker was on last
year. He was on last year's
team. It'll be Daniel House who changes.
Daniel House changes, and Trevor Ariza's gone. Bamute was useless in the postseason when he was a cog during the regular season.
But, would you say defensively this team is not as good as they were last year?
I don't know. They were second in the NBA in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
Why are they not as good? This is a better team. This is a better team. This team is built to beat Golden State, and they will. And they will. And they're only 6.5-point favorites tomorrow. 727 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. John, AJ, and Dell will tell you how you can get a free room when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I told you how you can get a room. Get a room. How about this? Throughout the playoffs, anytime James Harden gets called for a travel, Hotels.com is going to give away a free room because James Harden shouldn't be the only one allowed to travel this month. Here's how to shoot your shot. See the beard get called for a travel during a playoff game? Hurry over to your Twitter and use hashtag travel4hotels for your chance at a free stay. It's that easy. One winner will be chosen at random for each Harden travel throughout the Rockets playoff run. So James Harden traveling, because a lot of people think that he travels, which I totally disagree with.
I don't think you totally disagree with it.
Totally.
I think you choose to look the other way.
No, I think that it's BS. It's a bunch of jealousy.
Do you think anybody in the NBA travels then?
On a part, oh, yeah.
Just not.
Oh, yeah. Steph Curry travels all the time.
Okay.
But not James. No, he's European.
That's called footwork.
He does it in Europe.
He's the least different. European person you've ever seen.
Does he have a Euro step? Yes.
That doesn't make you European.
It kind of does to me.
Well, you would be wrong, but okay.
Okay. So hashtag, go to Twitter, hashtag travel for hotels. Hashtag travel for hotels. All right, we were talking about the lines now. You saw the dude. Did you guys talk about it yesterday, the dude that won $1.2
million? No.
Off Tiger winning the
Masters. Yeah. We talked about that guy. Yeah.
$85,000 bet. Do you believe that was the first sports bet he ever made? He laid down $85,000.
No. No one makes their first bet and throws down 85 grand.
His first ever bet, he said. He told Brent Musburger.
He's a liar.
You know, Brent's got that show in Vegas now.
It's horrible, by the way.
Have you heard it?
Yeah.
I haven't heard it. Here's what he said. It wasn't about the odds for me. My reasons for thinking that he was going to win were more personal, about where he is at in his career and his life.
Does he know Tiger?
He doesn't.
Okay.
He doesn't.
So he bet $85,000 on based on knowing personal things about Tiger, but he doesn't know him. That seems risky.
Right. Right. The wager was everything I had that I could afford to lose. I just thought it was predestined for him to win. The dude had, I mean, he
can afford to lose more now.
Well, yeah, he said he had he owed $25,000 on his mortgage, debt and mortgage, student loans and car loans. He flew to Vegas and threw down the $85,000 on Tiger. It just seems too improbable.
I don't buy it. I don't buy that's the first, like, that's the first bet you've ever made.
First bet. No. It was 14 to 1. He moved the odds from 14 to 10.
Damn.
I don't know. Listen, I don't care what kind of tip you get, though. I don't care there is no tip or anything else that can tell you who's going to win a golf tournament.
Well, you have to go based on feel.
You really do. Molinari.
Predestined.
I put money on Molinari. He was 22 to 1. I said, this is. And Koepka was 22 to 1.
So you had second and third place?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. And when Molinari fell apart on 12 and 15, I was like, you.
You had 85 G's on it?
Yeah. No, I had like 92,000.
Oh, yeah. That was all you could afford to lose, though.
Well, right. But I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm all right.
I mean, you've maxed out what you could afford to lose. But
there will be another bet tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right. But I could afford to lose that day.
Yeah.
Last week.
Now, the bet you're going to make tomorrow, if you lose that, you're probably in real trouble.
Right. Then I'm going to
have
to wait.
What's called a problem.
I'm going to have to wait another week to bet.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, your wife's going to leave.
$85,000. I'm not just, there's something stinks about this. There's something rotten in the state of Denmark here. There's something they're not adding up. Your first ever bet. You're a dude from Wisconsin that flies to Vegas with $85,000 and puts it on one bet. I don't know. I could see putting it on red or the number 7, but putting it on Tiger, I don't.
But red wasn't predestined.
Well, you don't. Yeah, because the red hits a lot, though.
I mean, it actually it hits more than Tiger hits.
Tiger was predestined. He just felt like that.
Maybe he was like, you know what? Red wins half the time. Tiger will wear a red shirt on Sunday.
Sounds
like destiny to me.
Maybe he's the three-eyed raven. And he sees the future. Only he's the four-eyed raven. He can also see the future.
You know what would be good about this guy being the three-eyed raven?
Hmm.
He wouldn't have to wait in line to place his wager at the sports book because he could just roll his wheelchair up to the short counter where there's never a line. And make a wager there from his wheelchair.
Did he just call it the short counter?
That counter's shorter than the other counters. And then the three-eyed raven could just stare at the...
Is that where Tyrion goes too?
No, because Tyrion's not handicapped.
But he can't... He needs the short counter.
I mean, that's unfortunate for him, and that's why it's always awkward because those smaller people have to... They want to be treated like everyone else. But it's inconvenient sometimes to be treated like everyone else because everyone else has to go to the tall counter unless you're in a wheelchair. What this guy did, though, as the three-eyed raven was it took him a really long time to get this bet made because he just stared blankly at the ticket person.
And showed absolutely no emotion.
And well, then finally they were like, sir, can I help you?
Wait, sir, where are your eyes? What the hell happened to your pupils? Speaking of big money, Russell Wilson signed. Like, this is a big surprise. Why was it April 15th anyway? I guess they've been...
He said that he wants to get it done because that's how you put pressure on teams to make stuff happen. You just say, if we don't get it done by this day, it's not getting done until the offseason.
Mm.
And then now they're like, oh, it's the offseason. Crap.
Yeah, because if it was April 20th, Russell wouldn't have taken it.
He wouldn't have accepted it.
Not that $140 million. Right?
Well, that was what he said. Is there something like they're going into off-season workouts today, and that's why he laid the deadline for that?
Or he wants to take Ciara to Europe or something?
Well, he can do it. He's got enough money.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah. He signed a big deal previously.
Yeah. So we talked about this a little bit yesterday on my show. Is because Russell Wilson already won a Super Bowl. Does it kind of feel like he's... What he cares about now is just making as much money as humanly possible over the rest of his career?
I don't know. I mean, don't you feel like you should get paid what you're worth, though?
I do,
And by the way, they're still good because of him.
Yeah, but they're never going to be as good as they were when he wasn't making the money he's making
but
now.
But I think that he sees Manning, he sees Schneider. And by the way, their contract negotiator's named Matt Thomas. Okay.
Russell Wilson for 140.
For three. John Schneider. And I think, but I think maybe they say he saw the way they traded Earl Thomas. They've gotten rid of the entire defense.
Yeah.
So we're not, you know, we're not paying you guys.
You know why?
You know what? You guys are making a boatload off of me. I've kept this thing afloat. I've kept this thing where we're still a playoff team. Pay me.
I guess I look at how many Super Bowls would the Patriots have won if Tom Brady were the highest paid quarterback in the league?
Not as many.
It's not like they pay other guys.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, it's not like they do a great job. It's not like that's the most talented team. It's not even close. I mean, they screw it up even though Brady has taken less money. They do. I mean, it's not. They're not.
Brady should be looking at these guys like, what am I taking less money for? It's not like you guys have found replacement after replacement that of uber talented guys.
I get it.
I got to make all these guys good.
I get it. But at some point, like, these guys, unless you can build a team around a guy, and it's really hard to do with quarterbacks now. If you're paying a quarterback top tier money, it's really hard to put a team around him because you can't really afford anything else.
Okay, what teams have won with the quarterback being the highest paid? The Colts. Peyton Manning was the highest paid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I thought you meant these Colts.
No, the Colts won.
Right.
With Peyton Manning being the highest paid. Who else can we think of that? Brady's not. I mean,
who's won? It's yeah, been right. Brady and who else?
When the Saints won, was Breeze the highest paid?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Was he at the highest paid at that time? Huh. I don't remember that. I'm going to take that back. He is now, but I don't know that he was then. The Eagles, no. Although they were paying two guys in Wentz and him, but Wentz was still on his rookie deal.
Okay, so here's a stat that I just pulled up. Since 1994, Steve Young, when the 49ers won the Super Bowl, he took up 13.1% of their salary cap. That was the first year the salary cap existed. Since then, three quarterbacks have eaten up 10% or more of their team's salary cap and won the Super Bowl. It was Brett Favre in 96, Peyton Manning in 2006, Eli Manning in 2011.
Well, that's not true, since Tom Brady takes up 13.75% of his cap, $27 million.
Was that last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe. Oh, well, it's right. It's okay, let me look at 2018. Brady took up 12.21% last year.
Then maybe this isn't totally updated.
Yeah.
Oh, this only goes up to 2015. So.
Okay. Yeah. So Brady did, actually. And what is...
When Breeze won, he took up 8.3%.
Okay. Yeah. So now he takes up more.
Yeah. Brady's first few Super Bowls, 0.47%, 4.4%, 6.3%.
Yeah. But now it's 12.21. Last year it was 12.21.
Russell Wilson's first... 0.56%.
Yeah.
That's when you can win easy. Yeah. I mean, if you've got a talented guy, you can win.
That's why the Texans are going to win this year.
I mean, you could argue that they're built for that.
Right now.
I mean, but you could argue the Chiefs were built for that last year, too.
Yep.
They still got
a few more years.
But once the window closes on those guys being cheap,
mm-hmm.
and Deshaun and Mahomes, even if they don't win a Super Bowl like Russell Wilson did, when the time comes, those guys are going to get paid big bucks, and rightfully so, but it's going to be a lot harder to build a winner around them they get paid.
But look, I mean, yeah, they had Mahomes at this bargain basement price, and their defense was like the second worst in the league. I mean, it's not like they were spending their money right anyway. And then this year they go and get rid of their two edge rushers, which they were... Well, they were crappy anyway at getting... They were doing... Might as well. What the hell's the difference, right? Why pay guys when you still suck anyway? So you got to... Not only do you have to have that got a quarterback that's not taking up the yeoman share of the cap, but you got to get guys who can actually play at the other positions. Last year, Devin McCourt, okay, but Stephon Gilmore is going to come due. Their highest paid players besides Brady, Devin McCourty, Rob Gronkowski, Dante Hightower, Stephon Gilmore, and then Marcus Cannon. I mean, they put so little into that offensive line. It's amazing.
Gronk coming off the books is going to be helpful.
That Marcus Cannon, your right tackle, is making made 5.9 last year, and you don't find your left tackle. What the hell?
Well, wasn't it Trent Brown? And he's no longer on the roster. How much was he making?
I'm looking at their 2018.
Well, so how much was he making as a guy? Did they trade for him?
I'm not finding Trent Brown on here. Trey Flowers only made $2 million last year. Brown, 1.9, your left tackle.
Yeah, he was.
I mean, dude, how are you winning with a left tackle that made 1.9?
His number is 12. His last name is Brady.
That's it.
They're unique in what they do. So anytime, if you're a fan of a team and they tell you you're going to do it the Patriot way, immediately say, oh, we're screwed. Really?
No, let's get Tom Brady.
No. Yeah, exactly. So anybody who's, if you're GM and ownership, we want to do it the Patriot way. Okay, we're not winning here because it ain't going to happen.
Hey, if you're looking for a place to play today, I'm telling you, it is unbelievable. The Prime Social is ridiculous. You will find on a Monday, they've got 8, 10, 12 tables going. On Tuesday, on the weekend, they start Thursday morning and they don't close until Monday morning. So it's nonstop action. We walk in on Friday mornings at 6 a.m., there's 5 tables going. And a PLO action, Pot Limit Omaha or Hold'em, and games that you can actually play. And if you're not, listen, we talk about it on our poker show, which, by the way, will air on Thursday night at 7, The Nuts. Me and Steve are going to be in it. And we talk about it, that you don't have to go there with thousands of dollars. You can go and sit down for $100 and you can play and enjoy yourself every day. The best way to go about it is, if you're a beginner, is start playing the tournament. It starts at noon. You can get in until about 2:15. It's $130 to enter, $100 rebuys. It's awesome. Today and every other day, it's Hold'em. Tomorrow, you got Pot Limit Omaha. May 1st. They're giving away at least $150,000 guaranteed in the huge tournament. That starts May 1st. You want to be a part of that. People from all over the country are going to be there. It is the best place to play. They gave away a Jeep from Chastain Jeep last month. They're giving away $10,000 this month to tournament players. It's just nonstop. It's Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer, right there on Westheimer, one light west of Voss. PrimeSocialTX.com.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So I'm looking live in Paris. Is Notre Dame Cathedral still burning?
Yeah.
Apparently.
Paris is Burning is the name of movie, I think.
No. Oh. That's not the name of the movie.
Well, it's the new movie that's coming.
No.
Gerard Butler will star.
Yeah.
Because doesn't he always star? London is Falling or whatever.
Yeah.
Paris is Burning.
Paris. 14 minutes ago, there's a fire at Notre Dame Cathedral. Well, no crap. But
didn't they put that out yesterday, though?
Yeah. Is it still burning? I mean, I got a tweet from here that says that that, you know, we're Apocalypse Now. It's still going. Can we put this out? Did they get Deer Park's firemen over there?
Oh, sir.
Still taking shots at Deer Park, I see.
Those hardworking firemen.
Are they flying over?
I don't think so.
Can't they just drop a water tanker on it?
I'm just kidding, Deer Park. I love your fire department. What the hell happened there? By the way, did you see Selma Hayek's husband is given $113 million to repair?
What's her husband do that he can just throw away cash like that?
$113 million. Listen, the only reason that he's Selma Hayek's husband is because he has $113 million to give away.
That seems like you're taking a shot at their love, John.
Listen, I'm not taking a shot at their love. I'm taking a shot at this dude with Selma Hayek.
Well, he's a French businessman, so Perrault? There's a connection there.
What's his name? Is he the car?
He's Francois Henri Pinault.
Pinault. He's the chairman and CEO.
Oh, he's a freaking wine. No wonder.
He's the chairman and CEO of Kering.
What if I told you how many dollars exactly did he donate?
$113 million.
If Bernard Arnault, the richest person in France and the third richest person in the world, came over the top and donated exactly $226 million, which, help me do math.
Seems
here.
Like an odd number.
Is that exactly double what Selma's man did? Is that...
You think he's trying... Is he making a move?
Is that called a D swing?
Yeah.
Right? That's him trying to say, listen,
look at this.
Selma.
Look over here. All right. I'm doubling him up, Selma.
I think she saw that, and I think that was intentional.
What the hell? Selma, you think Selma's going, looks bigger over there.
It does.
How do you get Selma? How you get Selma Hayek.
You charm her and you fall,
no,
and
you
they
got
fall in love.
$113 million to give away.
That's you. You say that because you're jaded. But I would say it's his second wife, by the way. So he's on the right path.
Like Selma Hayek isn't somebody's second wife, of course.
You think
his wife for Selma Hayek?
He's with the woman who he was with when
he
was poor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who does
no,
that?
No, he's been rich for a long time.
Okay,
he's been rich for quite a
bit. Every guy like who
not
starts
like
out
this rich,
yeah. Now he's rich.
Yeah, but she's. I'm looking at his ex-wife, homely.
Yeah, see?
You have the two kids.
Exactly.
You have your children with her, and then you tell
her
to beat it.
You have homely children. Wouldn't you want Selma Hayek's children? Although they'll be really short.
Well, he met her when she was. Well, they married when she was about 10 years ago. She was 42, so she was probably pretty much outside the range for children. Unless some science occurred.
Yeah.
So I don't think you marry Selma Hayek to knock her up. It's like, why are you ruining things? What's the point? You just ruined something. Why? What you doing?
No, children don't ruin everything.
They ruin 40-year-old women's bodies.
No, not really.
No.
You can bounce back.
It's tougher. Even Selma, as great as she is and still is, there's a little decay.
No. So blasphemy.
No, I'm not kidding.
Don't be talking about Selma Hayek like that.
This isn't a question of whether she's still attractive, but she's not the Dust Till Dawn Desperado Selma that she was.
Says you.
No, says pictures.
Do you know who
that
is?
Have you seen Elizabeth Hurley?
Do you know
50?
Well, I'm talking about Selma, not Elizabeth Hurley.
Don't tell me that's the first wife.
Do you know who that is?
No.
That is a picture of Mackenzie Bezos in 2003, before
she got rich?
Before
rich?
Before Amazon, pre-Amazon.
Right.
And she looks like Katie Lang. And listen, she spruced it up a little bit once she was a billion dollar husband will make his wife look better than she really looks. But eventually, Jeff was like, you know what? I've got this Amazon money. I'm just going to give her a bunch of it. And I'm going to find a new, way hotter wife.
Look, I can't be walking around with you. First of all, it's embarrassing to me being a rich guy. And secondly, I don't want to look at you anymore.
When you got,
I'm too rich to look at you.
That's the worst, when you're super rich and you've got an ugly wife.
Because everyone's like, what are you doing? Everyone's always looking at you like, what's the matter with you?
What?
your whole life is like, bro. Like Hugh Jackman, for example. He's a dedicated husband. He's been with his wife for like 20 plus years. We know who he is, Wolverine and such and such. You're like, really, bro? Like, Leonardo DiCaprio won't date a woman when she hits 26 years old. That's his thing. He doesn't.
Shallow.
He's never had a look. Look.
Shallow.
Look. You know, I want to. We don't have as many women listeners as you might imagine. Just the nature of this business.
But they know all the ones that the four that are listening.
They know Lee. They know Leo.
You're shallow.
No, Leo is the one who's shallow. You know, Lee, and I bet you they love him. They're like, oh, Leo, when he won his Academy Award, they're like, oh, that's so sweet. He finally won one. You know, if you reach 26 years old, Leo's dumping you. That's who he is.
Yeah, that's what he
does. That's what he do.
But see, and you just said, what, you got to go get a hotter wife. Why?
Oh, yeah, exactly. You don't need a wife.
Why do you have to go get a hotter wife?
I just want to point out that dude that everyone loves, he don't want you if you're 27.
Yeah.
All you 30-year-old women who love Leo, he don't want your ass. You too old.
Whoa.
It's the truth. It's not about me. It's his track record. He doesn't date women once they go past 26.
I think that's just an ugly way to put it. He don't want your old ass.
I didn't say old ass. I said he don't want your ass. You threw an old ass.
Okay, there's a bunch of women driving around out there. They ain't getting Leo. Guess what?
Look.
They can get Pinot, okay, at 42.
They look like
Selma Hayek. If you look like Selma Hayek right now driving around, you got a shot.
I just want to bring some reality to the situation. Love him, love his movies, love the new movie that he's going to be in. But if you in your 30s, he ain't got no time for you.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Nobody wants that short little ass Leo.
Okay.
Yeah.
That has not been what I've heard about him since really I've been alive.
Okay. Well, whatever. Whatevs. Okay. There's a lot of hot. Hey, listen. What about inside, Dale?
I'm not the one with that attitude. Leo doesn't care. Leo cares about your insides until you hit 27, and then your insides could be the greatest thing in the world. He's not going to have time for you.
Leo only cares about girls' insides.
I know. That's the joke. See? That's the joke. You don't have to bang him over there with a hammer. That's the joke.
Have you ever met me? That's what I do.
759 ESPN 97.5. There's no joke here. If you're looking for marble, if you're looking for granite, you're looking for tile, hard stuff. You want something hard, okay? That's Jeff Aronoff will give it to you, right? That's what you want.
That should be
his motto.
That's the business he's in.
Listen, that should be his. I got the motto for the company.
Giving you the hard stuff?
Listen, if you need something hard, Jeff Aronoff has got it. Jeff Aronoff will give it to you. Let's perfect this. If you need something hard, Jeff Aronoff will give it to you. That's right. And he does it every single day. He's probably tired, but he does it every single day. And here's how you do it. You give him a call, 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite. Jeff Aronoff will come and he will replace that counter that may build you an outdoor patio, build you an outdoor kitchen, build you that tile for your pool, okay? Install it all. It's what he do every day. Your vanity suck, but that's all right. Jeff Aronoff will take care of that too. Let's do it all one fell swoop. Let's make the house look nice. If you don't update your house, you ain't selling it and you ain't getting your money back. You got to update. 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to Ramp.com and love finance again.